Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us on Twitter at JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250. This is episode 59, and we are talking about post E3 things.
This is the post E3 party going on right here.
I like this. It kind of feels like Michael Bublé.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's got that kind of rumba feel to it. Yes. You know, I feel like dancing and moving my hips.
Yeah. Oh, your hips don't lie.
My hips don't lie. So other than the E3 craziness, what have you been up to in the last week or so,
oh,
Chris?
Oh man. So this week I've done two cool things.
Yes. Ooh, only two. The rest of what you did all week was just worthless.
I didn't say only two. Just two cool things that I could think of.
Noteworthy things.
Yeah. Noteworthy. Yes.
Yes.
I completed Limbo for the third time.
Ooh.
I played it on the PlayStation Vita this time.
And you were talking about, you've been teasing me with a video Let's Play of you playing it on PC
I am going to do that.
I'm looking forward to this.
Good.
Is this going to have like commentary and like
yeah.
various things?
I think
like not even commentary about the game, just commentary about life in general.
Ooh.
I just like the idea of advice, you know, while you're playing through Limbo and you're trying to navigate that world. I like the idea of getting some advice on how to navigate our world and all of the death traps and the spiders that you encounter along that way.
Yeah, you might get some of that. I'm not quite sure yet, if you will.
So what was the second thing? The second awesome thing.
I finished the Burial at Sea Episode 2 DLC from Bioshock Infinite, and it was tasty. It was good, man. Mm. Like, if you like Bioshock Infinite and you played that game, definitely get the DLC. I can't express to you without spoiling it how cool it is.
Well, don't open any cans of spoiler over there.
I won't.
But that's awesome, man. I'm very much looking forward to diving into Bioshock Infinite. I haven't even we talked about before, like a couple episodes ago, I think, just really recently, that I haven't dove into that
you
game
finally finished
yet,
Bioshock,
so.
Though.
Oh yeah,
you?
I finished it, but I never did any of the alternate endings or anything like that.
That's
going
okay.
on. So
I mean, you can look those up on YouTube.
Yeah, that's probably my plan. So
yeah.
But yes, this week.
And honestly, never mind.
I always feel
there
like
might be only one that actually makes any sense.
Oh, okay.
To me, at least.
I always feel like whenever you have choices like that, you kind of own whatever it is, and any other choices that you could possibly make that like
in your mind
off,
is wrong.
Yeah, it's all messed up, and it's like that is the incorrect.
Well, that
happens.
You know, that's happened to me. Except for like, there's been a couple times whenever I play like The Walking Dead, the game, or something like that.
Yeah.
And some choice will present itself, and I will get, you know, flustered and hit one. And I'm like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, that was obviously not the choice I would make. But that's the choice you would make in the zombie apocalypse, because you got to have these split second decisions, man.
No, like, I think about, like, because I'll be like, I press it, and I immediately regret my decision. Sometimes I roll with it. But sometimes I don't.
But that's how it would be, I feel like, in life, is that sometimes you just make a decision, and you immediately would regret that.
That's true. And honestly, I've only redone my decision once. Like, most of the time, I'm just like, man, I didn't want to do that. You know, like.
And you're just like, but I got to live with it.
Right, but I got to live with it. You know, so. And I actually, like, I kind of ended that way with, I think I'm on season 2, episode 1. Episode 2 and 3 that are out. I need to play those both.
Yes.
The end of episode 1 ends, like, and there's drastically different, like, ways you can end this on a choice that you make at the end. And I made it one way, and then I second-guessed myself and went back the other way, and I'm like, but nope, this is the original way is the way that I would do this if I was in this situation.
So you just felt like you were lying to yourself.
Yeah, it's like, man, you know, like, I'm just cheating on my game.
This stems back all the way to, like, the old, like, Goosebump books, or the books where it's like you like, kind of turn to page 146 if you want to choose this, or, like, turn to and it's like, once you do a decision and your character, like, or, like, dies or something, you know, you're kind of stuck with that. In every other direction that you might go, oh, what happens if I do this?
I want to read those books again.
What happens
make those books?
They do make those books still.
Really?
Yes.
You send me a link.
I will send you a link.
And I'll post
actually,
in the podcast.
A funny tweet that I saw somebody recently, one of was like, for Father's Day, he took his kids to the library and they like read a bunch of those types of books.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so can I spoil, like, it's not a major spoiler, but just spoil.
A Goosebumps book?
No, I was going to say that Walking Dead episode I was talking
about. Yeah, go for it.
Spoiler for The Walking
Dead.
Spoiler
for The Walking
Dead
season 2, episode 1.
Okay. Is it going to ruin it for you?
No.
Okay. at the end, you're presented with a choice of saving one person or another. Ooh. And it's not, you don't really realize this end. It's just like there's zombies coming.
Yeah.
Okay. And the option is like stay and try to defend this little island with some old guy.
Okay. Okay.
Who has been friendly to you, though.
Mm.
Or go across the river to his younger son, who has been a pretty big douchebag to you. Okay.
Okay. So here, this is some logic that would run through my mind. And in real life, maybe not even in the game, where it's like, okay, but if I had to get away from zombies, the old guy can't run as fast as you.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's getting overwhelmed.
I mean,
is the thing.
I feel like I would
and
go.
You have to choose one or the other.
I don't know. It depends because it's like, hey, do you want somebody to help you defend or do you
I'll
want
tell
somebody
you what I did at first.
What did you do?
The old man was being stupid.
Yeah.
And not running.
Yeah.
His son was trying to get him to run, and he said, no, I can defend myself. Obviously, he couldn't. So I ran. I went to his son and let him get eaten by zombies. Well, you know, that's...
You're a terrible person.
And then his son immediately blames you for his father's death because I didn't stay to defend him, but that wouldn't have helped anyway.
Well, like, he didn't stay either.
Exactly. Like, well, yeah, he didn't go run into his help.
What is it? You're pointing a finger at me, but there's three pointing right back
exactly.
at you.
So I immediately was like, well, was that the right decision? And I went, you know, and played the other way and saved the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he still gets like basically bit, but
so it's over.
But he survives, and so I don't know. Like, but I would like honestly, if I was making that choice in a split second decision. I'm leaving the old man behind because he's being dumb,
dude. I don't know. It's a hard call, but again, whenever you set up this whole thing and you know, kind of set up the situation, it's like, you know, per the norm in the zombie apocalypse, you are presented with: do I save this person or do I save this person? It's like this is the dilemma that it's like if you think about the zombie apocalypse, that's the only dilemma there ever is,
right?
You know. Anyway, yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's
kind of crazy.
It's a conundrum.
Yes, it is. So this week, for me. I actually got to sit down and play some of, this is the very first time, I haven't gone back to Call of Duty, which I was like, I was really into Call of Duty, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Until this generation, I haven't really like, you know, Call of Duty was my game for like three or four games, you know, and so it's like anytime I had 10 minutes or whatever and I just wanted to do some gaming, it was like sit down and play a match of Call of Duty, like Team Deathmatch or whatever. And Titanfall came out. And that became my game of choice.
Yeah.
And it's still, I really enjoy
What level are you now on Titanfall?
I'm on Generation 8, level 48, and I'm working my way through the 50 wins.
Dang.
And this is the hardest generation to go through, because you have to get 50 wins.
How many do you have right now?
I have like 20, maybe
20. What mode are you playing?
Mostly attrition, because I feel like by myself, which a lot of times I'm by myself.
Right.
By myself, that's the main, I guess, match type that I can affect the most.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're really close or whatever, you can just go and stomp around on some grunts.
Yeah.
And if you do really well in that, it's not like you're costing anyone points. I don't know. I always feel like I can change that one more than I can any of the others.
Yeah,
you can't really cap a flag by yourself.
No.
So, yeah.
Or even Pilot Hunter. Man, I just
get
destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but yeah, in attrition, you kind of just get in your Titan and just roll around and you're fine, you know. Anyway, but I went back to Call of Duty Ghosts and played some of the new DLC and everything. There's the map Favela, or that's the one of the newer ones, from Call of Modern Warfare 2.
Wait, Favela's on there now?
Yeah.
What?
It's basically, I mean, it's literally a carbon copy. Like, I thought they would reskin it somehow, kind of how they do. You know how they, like, reskin
other... Yeah, they didn't.
They didn't. It's the same map.
What?
Yeah, and there's the same, like, kind of, like, feeling exploits and stuff where you can, like, hide up on one of the, like,
that's
like
awesome.
The corners and stuff. It was really fun. Anyway, so, like, I went back to that and went 20-4 in my first match, and I was very pleased. I was like, man, I haven't lost the Call of Duty touch.
I played like the last map pack a little bit. Like, those are pretty fun too.
Yeah. There's definitely some cool moments. But yeah, I was doing that. And then the other thing that this week, the big news, shaved the beard.
Ooh.
Yes.
You had a pretty long beard.
Yes. And we've maybe mentioned it a couple times. I think we mentioned it.
Amish/terrorist beard.
Yes. It was kind of like just really long and lots of references to like
Duck Dynasty.
It was around November last year. I had it for like 7 months.
Yeah,
and people kept referencing Duck Dynasty. I'd never seen an episode.
What?
I'd never seen the Duck Dynasty.
How'd you never seen Duck Dynasty?
I don't know. And then I was like at family's house for Thanksgiving, and then they played like through the whole entire first season while I was there.
It's a great show.
Yeah. Anyway, but I understood the reference at that point. I was like, oh. That's what. Yeah. Anyway. So, but yeah, shave that sucker off. Post That's a awesome. Video or something.
That's
so,
cool. That's awesome.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should talk about E3 now.
Yeah. That they're at E3.
The E3. But first,
the pick of the week.
The pick of the week.
What's your pick of the week, John?
My pick of the week this week is actually came out on Tuesday. There is Acoustic Dreams by the band Echosmith. They came out with an awesome album. And I've been jamming on the Talking Dreams, which is their album, I guess, I don't know, maybe a year ago, something like that came out. Awesome. They got cool kids on there. But yeah, the acoustic album has come out. It's 5 songs. 4 from the previous album that they've just made these like really kind of stripped down acoustic things, and then the 5th one is a kind of a new tune as
nice,
well. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my pick this week.
Cool.
What is your pick this
week? My pick of this week is, and I guess it's the past few weeks, and is this the last week for
maybe
it?
The month.
Maybe
I don't
the
know.
Month. Yeah, I think it's this month. Anyway, DC has a bunch of variant covers for a lot of their comics.
Yeah.
And they're like Wonder Woman and Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, and I think there's Supergirl on one of them. And
there's some really cool ones, like just kind of like vintage kind of looking retro
Stargirl.
Stuff going on, you know? I mean, it's really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I picked up a couple today, and I'm going to pick up some for this week. I think this week is Wonder Woman and Harley Quinn, those
yes.
two, and they look really cool. So yeah, definitely check those out if you are at all interested in DC Comics.
In the old comic books.
Yep. All right, now, E3. Last week we talked about Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft,
EA.
And EA.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about Nintendo because they didn't even do anything until Tuesday.
Yeah, they had their digital event on Tuesday, and it actually, like, the digital event, while it was interesting because it seemed like that was their big event, but they also debuted some other cool things throughout the rest of the kind of way with, like, the Treehouse. They had, like, this Treehouse Twitch stream that was going on. It was kind of constant. Every hour or so, they would have a new game that they would debut, and then they also had an event for a new 3DS game on, I think it was Wednesday night, where they debuted this brand new game and stuff. So there's lots of stuff that Nintendo has done, and lots of, like, they positioned themselves a little bit differently moving into next year than they were, I guess, a few weeks ago. So
cool. Yeah, so, like, let's run down kind of, you know, like, what is your highlight from Nintendo, and what you were most anticipated?
I guess the big news, it seemed like the Nintendo, I call it a Nintendo Direct, but it was like their digital event is what they called it. It's a little bit bigger than that event.
Yeah.
It very much seemed like there was just a bunch of stuff wrapped around like the big reveal, which was the new Zelda game.
Yeah.
And this seems like the Zelda game that everybody has wanted for so long, where it's kind
of open world.
An open world Zelda. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And there was, you know, there's some confusion around it afterwards or whatever with, like, who is this? Is this Link? Because, like, the guy was like, oh, it may not be Link. We never said it was Link. You know,
right.
And so it,
well,
I will go ahead and say it's Link.
I mean, you know, and, like, okay, so almost every Zelda game, if I'm not mistaken, you can rename your character. You don't have to name it Link anyway.
Correct.
And so, like, I mean, they're just saying, you know, the explain
this is
around
an extension
was
of gamers?
The player. It's just saying, like, this is whoever the player wants them to be. And so, like, that's always been the case. And so it's nothing new. And they even said, like, in an interview, I think, with IGN that, you know, if this were someone other than Link, it'd have to be called something. If this was Zelda, it'd have to be called, like, Legend of Link or something like that.
I guess that was the big confusion, was that people were like, is this actually Zelda, you know, this time around? And that makes sense, you know. Maybe they would have a Legend of Link and, you know, it's Zelda this time.
So, like, I'm still pretty pumped about Smash Brothers. You know, like,
oh, gosh.
I want to see the full, like, they haven't announced all the characters yet, but I want to see the fleshed out, like, everything, you know?
Like, everybody.
Yeah, everybody. And, like, who this is going to, like, supposedly there's going to be toys for all these characters and stuff like that. And so, like, that part of it really excites me.
Yeah, the Amiibos is what they're called.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which is a strange name. It has the word me in it, which is what your character, your avatar is in, like, whenever you create your own me in the Miiverse or whatever. I guess they're just doing this double eye thing all the time now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just, I guess it's unique and kitschy, you know, whatever. But the Amiibo figures look awesome.
Yeah.
Like really the cool ones that they showed, I was really excited to see. I mean, like Fox and those guys.
I'm into Disney Infinity. Like, I'm not into Skylanders just because of the fact, like, I don't have any personal, like, those aren't something that I want to sit on my shelf, you know? But, like, you know, Disney Infinity, I want to sit those on my shelf and display them. Same thing with these Amiibos, is I want to sit this on my shelf and display them. Like, they look super cool, especially, like, my favorite characters from Smash Brothers.
Oh, dude.
Like, you know, oh crap, what's the black and white guy's name with the bacon? Can't remember his name.
Oh, dude, Game & Watch.
Game & Watch, dude, yeah, dude.
I don't know, have they announced him as a character yet?
I don't know.
The ones that I'm interested to see are kind of the licensed characters.
Probably Mad.
Oh, dude, I would be too.
It's Sonic,
like, he was the bomb.
And,
yeah, Sonic. And we're looking at, like, Mega Man. Those are the characters. And which Mega Man are we talking, like? And are we talking, like, maybe there's going to be a Mario, or is there a Dr. Mario? I don't know. Like, I just don't know kind of where we're going here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really am excited to see the full roster, as well as every figure that you can possibly get for this game. So, I mean, I'm excited about that aspect of it.
What
for sure
were you most disappointed with the Nintendo stuff?
Okay, so the new DS game. I was most disappointed in that. Like, surprisingly.
Oh, because they hyped it up a lot.
Like, where's this big mysterious game? And this was codenamed Steam. And the concept is awesome. It's a great concept. But then whenever I actually saw kind of the gameplay of it.
What's the concept?
The concept is that it's kind of like an alternate history thing where Abraham Lincoln has created a secret team to go battle aliens in London in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of the steampunk version of history. Mm-hmm. But the visuals aren't steampunk at all.
Well, I mean, it's a 3DS. I mean, it's not super powerful.
But, I mean, even to that point, like the art style they were going for was this. It's kind of like the Silver Age of comic books.
Yeah.
So it's these bright colors, and it's just what doesn't feel steam. I mean, it's like, other than the fact that one of the main game mechanics is, like, you have a steam meter on each character, and once you're out of steam, that's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can move, you can attack, you can do all this stuff. But aside from that, it really just, the steam really didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It just seems like that's kind of a, they had these game mechanics in mind of kind of a XCOM style, strategy based RPG type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of forced in this idea of steampunk, you know, it's just, yeah. But that was the one that I was kind of most disappointed about. I was feeling like so amped up for it, because this mystery game, I thought it would have these, like Nintendogs a long time ago, they debuted it in that type of a scenario where it was a 90-minute thing, and the game mechanics took that long to explain.
Yeah.
Whereas this game, you kind of just explain it once, explain the fact that it's kind of like XCOM, that kind of a mm-hmm. game, and explain the fact that it's the setting and stuff, and you're kind of done, you know?
I think what I was most disappointed about was I wanted to see a Wii U price drop.
Ah.
And because honestly, like, I have no reason to buy this console at the current price. Even
that's
with,
true.
You know, like, I want Smash to play Smash Brothers really, really badly, but I'm not buying it.
I guess a month ago I would have said they were going to drop the price. Like, that was the biggest thing in my mind. I was like, at E3 they're going to drop the price. But then whenever, literally maybe a week or two before E3, Mario Kart 8 came out and they sold so many. Like, it was a system seller. Like,
yeah, for sure.
They sold and so, like, they couldn't drop the price now, because otherwise, like, this is now the point where they're getting the most sales they've ever gotten on this thing.
Yeah.
So they can't, I feel like they can't justify dropping the price. But I think if that hadn't performed as well as it has, they definitely would have dropped the price.
I mean, these are two of their biggest games, two of their biggest franchises, and they honestly should have launched with one of them.
Yes.
Instead of a rehash of new Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
You know? And so, I understand the reasoning behind it. I'm just saying that's what I wanted. And
that's what's holding you back from buying a console.
Yeah. If it's cheaper, I'll, shore up a couple $100 for this thing and pay, to get Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers, for sure. And that's the one game that whenever that comes out, it's going to be hard to like, it's going to be hard to not start saving some cash for a Wii U in my mind. And I feel like maybe next E3 we might see a price drop.
You know, I don't want to, maybe. Yeah, I don't, maybe. But I don't want to pay a couple hundred dollars or $300, yeah. $400. How much
is
this
thing? Not much off from the others.
And exactly. And I don't want to buy that just for one game that I'm going to play for 6 months and then let sit there.
Or like whenever you have people over or something that you play once every maybe couple of months after that, you know? I'm right there with you. I think that what would the price be that it would have to get to before, whenever you would be like, yes, is that $200?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So another thing that you could talk about is these upcoming games. Like even all of the games that we've talked about so far, some of the games that they announced aren't coming out until like 2015. And so I still don't think that this, I mean, I guess Smash Brothers is the only thing they've got coming this holiday season to push consoles and to push things, you know, and while that is their biggest hitter, I'm not entirely convinced that they're out of hot water just yet. They did go into E3 with a big win from Mario Kart 8, but still, I'm not entirely convinced that that company in 6 months we don't see feeling pretty, you know, down on their current console. And honestly, a lot of these games like Star Fox, there's going to be that new Star Fox. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But and it's Star Fox back in his ship as opposed to running around on Dinosaur Planet somewhere. Right. But that may be coming too little too late is what I fear about it. And they may need to launch an entirely new console before they kind of get back on the track of, you know, being in every house or whatever.
Right. I still think we'll see this for another couple of years. I don't see them, you know, doing a console for another couple of years. And, you know, they'll push this, and maybe if they do a price drop or something like that, they can sell more. But, you know, we'll see what they do. So was there anything else throughout the rest of E3 that really stuck out at you?
Other than just, I'm really excited about some of these games and all of them are dropping, like all of the ones that are coming this year are coming in October and it's just rapid fire right in that range. So, going to have a lot of gaming to do around
October and November,
October, November, for sure. I think that's, you know, that was what I took from this.
What is your game of the show?
Ooh, game of the show. Ooh, do you have one? Because I'll have to think. I'm between like.
We can divide this up. Okay, so like for franchises I knew about before. Game of the show. Honestly, is probably. Man, there's so many. Okay, so like I'll just kind of like briefly go over my favorites. You know, like I'm, you know, super pumped still about The Division. You know, I liked getting to see that extra footage there. I super pumped about The Crew. You know, like seeing that. I as far as new games that we didn't know about, you know, obviously Rainbow Six.
That's mine. For games that I didn't know about, that is the one that I am most amped about. That's my game of the show as far as that goes.
I'll also say I'm pretty excited to see like what Sunset Overdrive is like. Like, this is a franchise that of which we have not seen some like the likes of. You know, like you know, it's kind of like a cross between several different games, and I'm really interested to play it. And from everything I read, like, everyone has so much fun with it.
Yeah.
And
what was
it,
8-player multiplayer as
well? Yeah, 8-player multiplayer, which that's insane. It's so
nuts.
Cool. Like, so, you know, I'm really pumped about that, actually.
Yeah, dude. And I'm excited to see what that plays like, something like, you know, from the developers of kind of like Ratchet and Clank and all of those kind of games that were traditionally PlayStation games. I'm excited to see how that plays on like an Xbox controller.
Yeah.
Just the comfort of that Xbox controller is really going to be awesome on that game. But I definitely think The Crew still stuck out to me. I think that's probably my favorite of the games that I knew about. That's my game of the show. The Crew is going to be amazing, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time on that around holiday season. But then again, Rainbow Six just looks really fun, man. And this is a game that I didn't expect at all. And once it started playing, like, my mouth kind of was open. You know, I was like, just jaw dropped. And I think that other than maybe some of the awesome visuals of Assassin's Creed, I really didn't have any other moments kind of like that.
I mean, you know, like the Assassin's Creed, I will play if myself and three other people,
right?
Three other friends decide, okay, hey, we're all going to buy Assassin's Creed right now, and for the next month, we're going to play through this campaign.
Right.
You know, that's whenever I'll play Assassin's Creed.
That's the togetherness, the together moments.
But
you know?
I'm definitely like, this is not a game. Not because it's going to be a bad game, because there's so many other great gameplay experiences coming out this fall. This is not a game that I'm going to buy just to sit down and play by myself.
That's true.
So, you know, like.
Also, I feel like you won't get the next gen experience that way, because it's like you could have played an Assassin's Creed by yourself last gen.
Yeah, correct. And like, you know, the big theme this year at E3 is basically co-op. You know, like all these games are co-op. Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed, Sunset Overdrive, The Crew, like even the newer ones, you know, like we said, Rainbow Six, The Division. Like all these games are all multiplayer. Even Nintendo, you know,
Smash Brothers.
It's all multiplayer. And so yeah. Destiny, you know.
Oh gosh.
Like that's what these, like, I think, you know, last generation, they enabled us to play together.
Yes.
And in multiplayer modes. And there were some co-op, you know, it'd be like two-player co-op or something like that, you know, and like
Gears of Warfare 2.
You know, there was four-player co-op, I guess, in oh, no, it was basically two-player co-op. Well, there's four-player co-op in Reach, wasn't there?
Yes.
Some games sort of the end of the generation. But, you know, this is now, okay, like Sunset Overdrive, eight, you know, player co-op. And so, like, we're really starting to see, like, this is what it's like for multiplayer gaming within, you know, your console. And so it's really cool to see.
I agree. And that's kind of the space we're going into. So something I was wanting to ask you about kind of the overall kind of look at E3.
Yeah.
Do you think we have a clear vision for where both Microsoft and Sony are kind of taking their consoles and into this next generation space?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, you look at, you know, Sony, for instance, you know, and they've got, they're making, you know, some, they're do, like, okay, so we can talk about this in a second too.
Yeah.
They have obviously spent some money to get the beta and alpha for,
Destiny
and Hardline respectively,
right,
on there. And so, like, it's really cool that they're making that investment. But you know, like, we've got some cool experiences coming there. You know, you've got the infamous DLC, and you've got, like, we saw the first part of Uncharted 4. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Little Big Planet 3 looks like super, super fun. It's another multiplayer game, for instance.
Coming out holiday.
Yeah, coming out holiday, and it looked great. Like, it, you know, it's kind of changing the way that the game plays, adding those three different characters.
Yeah.
And that's cool. You saw Microsoft doing things like brand new, like Sunset Overdrive, that's coming out this year, you know.
Yeah.
And you also saw them, you know, show things that are established franchises, but still, like, you know, they're innovating, I think. And I'm excited. I mean,
was it Crackdown, that CG trailer that we saw at near the end?
Yeah, we get to see a lot of just cool games over the next few years. And so,
yeah.
Honestly, like, you know, you know you're going to get something like The Order, you're going to get something like Uncharted 4 with PlayStation. So you're getting some great, like, storytelling there.
Bloodborne kind of thing. Like, I feel like that has some of the same visual tones and visual cues as The Order, that sort of thing.
You know, so those feel kind of more serious. Even Destiny, like, there's some exclusive content on PlayStation 4, feels a little more serious in tone. And then you've got, like, things like Sunset Overdrive and Halo on Xbox. And, you know, like, you've got some cool things coming there. And so it kind of does feel like, you know, Sony's kind of taking this more serious, you know, like, story.
Other than Little Big Planet, I feel like that
story based approach.
Right. That's kind of how I kind of viewed some
and
of
Microsoft
stuff.
Is all about connectivity and playing with each other and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Like, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no matter what, the next, I guess, 2014, the rest of this year, and then 2015, looks like it's got a great slate of games for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we did get to play, though, Destiny.
Yes.
The Destiny Alpha.
Uh-huh.
And the Hardline Beta.
Yeah.
And so these are the levels that they showed at E3.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. Like,
yeah.
Battlefield is, like, the two new modes are really fun. I forget what they're called, but basically, like,
heist
and something else.
There was another one.
Where you're stealing money back and forth from each other and, like, trying to get to a certain bank level, you know, like $5 million.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, dude.
Like, oh, dude.
I was surprised at how much fun they are.
Yeah, well, as a kind of a fast-paced, Call of Duty, Titanfall-esque gamer. Like, that's kind of how I like my online multiplayer, whereas, like, Battlefield 4 or Battlefield 3, I mean, it didn't really appeal to me as much just because, like, the length of matches and, you know, looking... It just didn't seem as intense sometimes. Like, I would have to travel a long way to get into the action, whereas these modes actually kind of gave me some of that, like, instant, you know, the action.
It pushes everyone toward the center, you know, right. Like, where other game modes like Rush... and just straight up team deathmatch, you know, like it doesn't necessarily push people into the action. These do. These force you into the middle of these maps, and you have to hunt each other down. And yeah. So it was cool. I'm really happy about it. And then Destiny was cool to see, like these levels in Destiny. Like I want to see the fleshed out game for sure. Like this is an alpha, you know. So like
right.
It runs, you know. I guess it wasn't running terrible, but it's like, you know, like this is an alpha. I want to see a more fleshed out game.
Well, I think more so than just the like performance of the game, it felt like I wanted to see more of what this game is.
Yeah, there's really no story. You're just kind of dumped in the middle of it. Yeah. And so like, and there's always gonna be that with like an alpha or a beta, like where you get like one mission in the middle of this game, you know.
Yeah.
And so
no narrative, you know, obviously.
Well, there was a narrative, but you don't understand it really. Like,
yeah.
So like it'll be cool to see this game whenever like it's more fleshed out and we can actually make sense of it. And the fun thing was the I forget what it's called, but the there's this robot that like follows you around and stuff like that. It is Peter Dinklage.
Is it really?
Like, we were sitting there playing. I'm like, this sounds like Peter Dinklage. And
that's
it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So basically, buy Destiny if you want to hear Peter Dinklage talk to you a lot.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Hours
no, seriously.
And hours on end.
That was awesome because whenever it first came on, I was like, this is a really interesting take on a almost a narrator-esque guide across your world. And it really sold it. You know, it kind of... It sold it for me. So it essentially made it different enough to where I felt like I wasn't in the next Halo or I wasn't in the next whatever sci-fi thing.
Right.
The visuals were really nice. I really liked the visuals, which was interesting because a lot of the footage we saw at E3, like from the third person view, it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
And even still, some of it I still feel like was very similar to how Halo looked and felt. And so like last gen.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if maybe this game is kind of one of those where they're designing it because it is coming out on 360 and PlayStation 3. So I'm wondering if they're more leaning towards, hey, let's design it for those or at least the alpha build for those and then up-res to the new consoles versus design it for the new consoles and remove, you know, features and res and stuff like that.
It's entirely possible because like you look at something like a lot of things that came out last year, Battlefield and
Ghosts.
Ghosts especially, like that's how they were designed and they started production probably about the same time Destiny did. Destiny's had a little longer production cycle because it's a bigger world, larger, you know, set of features. And so, like, you have to spend more time with it. But, you know, I could totally see that this basically started on last gen and they've up-resed it and moved it to next gen. I think it's a next gen kind of experience.
Yes.
But I don't think it's necessarily a, you know, next gen in terms of visuals.
Yeah, graphical quality, that sort of thing. The only thing that I did notice that felt next gen was just some particle stuff going on.
I mean,
it's
still an alpha, you know, like
yeah. That's what I was wondering is maybe for the alpha they did that kind of thing because it's got to be on, you know, multi, you know, different things. So, yeah, that was the only question I had there. So, yeah.
Yeah. All in all though, like I'm really excited about, you know, like where we are in the state of games. You know, E3 was a lot of fun, like just watching all the press all week, watching the conferences, watching all the news coming out of there from all the different sources, you know, like I think I read every single article about it on Kotaku and IGN, you know, like it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one that I wanted to throw out there, Evolve, looks really nice. I want to try that one for sure. And that's kind of one that I guess it depends on who you're playing with about whether it will be fun or not.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm interested to see more from that
one. Well,
the
cool thing is, you know, if you own an Xbox One, you get a beta in the summer sometime.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to check that out before you buy it and decide to drop $60 on the game. And you know, that one does, like, yeah, it sounds cool. That one does, though, have to prove itself to me because, like, it's all multiplayer. Like, there's no single-player content in this game. And so, like, if they're going to do this, they have to be able to – it has to be like Titanfall, you know, where, like, it's just so absorbing I want to play it all the time.
Right.
You know, it basically has to be that. And so
– yeah, and like I said, I think it depends on who you're playing with because it's the same as, like, Fable – like, the Fable Legends thing that we were talking about, I think, last episode where – it's four on one, and so if the one person doesn't know what they're doing, yeah. then that's going to be a really boring match. Or right. if that person is really awesome at what they're doing and you're terrible, right. it's going to be a really boring match. So I think it kind of all depends on who you're playing with and how right. you play and stuff. So I'm excited to see more. That's all I can say about that. But sure. I wanted to throw that out there and as another really cool one that I'm excited about.
Well, that's it for this week. I think we are pretty much done with our coverage of E3 now. And we will, if you have any questions, you can tweet at us. But you know, we'll continue to cover a lot of these games and review a lot of them whenever they come out. And
we'll be covering all of that.
For sure. You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com and on Twitter at
JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250. At Stay on Target Pod is the podcast Twitter. That's it for this.